All right, let's turn to our Bibles this morning and we'll find a sure foundation. We'll find here a place to stand upon in the shifting sands of this world. We're given here in the book of the letter of 1 John the insight to the things of this world and that we should avoid. Nothing is more dangerous to the souls of men than the love of the world. Nothing is more destructive and effectually chokes out the influence of the gospel in a man's heart than the cares of this world. The shootings there in El Paso, they haven't really figured out why the man did what he did. I guarantee it had something to do with his relationship to the things of this world. Whether it's he wanted fame, in a kind of a twisted sense of that fame, whether he wanted, did it for money, did it for some twisted reason, maybe he used to work at Walmart and they fired him, I don't know. But nothing is more difficult to avoid than an undue attachment to the things of this world. And when we speak here of the world, as John did in chapter 2, verse 15, love not the world, I believe he's speaking of the world's systems, the systems of this world. And I'll get into that a little deeper in a moment. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your many blessings upon us. We thank you, Lord, that we're here alive and well this morning and somewhat safe from the things of this world. As we've come here, Lord, and in this assembly, as we've come here, Lord, in obedience to your word, striving to serve you and as best we can to put you first in our lives. We do pray for those that are mentioned on our prayer list, those who are away from us, maybe sick or otherwise hindered today. Let's be with them. Be with our church, Lord, and this family here, that we may grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And may we say it's been good to be in thy house. For it's in his precious name we pray. Amen. So we see here that John sets before us four words as a beacon. And they stand written by the finger of God in blazing letters to warn us of this great danger: love not the world. Love not the world. And our text is John, 1 John 2, verse 15 through 17. And he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So this world and all that it offers is no more than a bubble that will soon burst. The money, the farms, the houses, the influence, the people of this world, even our families, everything here is temporary. And it will vanish away. The world's systems will pass away. We were talking about flags. This represents our government. And I love the United States. It's a great nation. But this nation will pass away. The governments of this world will pass away. The monetary systems of this world will pass away. The social systems, the educational systems of this world will pass away. For a rational man, woman, I mean man in a generic sense, to be so attached to this bubble that we call the world is a very irrational thing. As John points out, as a child of God, as one that has risen with Christ, been made a new creature and living for God, living for Christ, living in the hope of eternal glory, if you are in that group of people that know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that realize that you're a sinner, and you've come to trust Him and His shed blood, His work, to justify you before a thrice holy God, then you're to count this world as a dead thing, to live no longer for the world. Set your heart on things above, not on things below, and live above the pile of rubbish that must soon burn. You live to do the will of God. You seek the glory of Christ. You seek the furtherance of the gospel in this present world. To be an influence in your sphere of influence to this generation for the glory of Christ. Live to do His will. Serve God and serve His people. Quit seeking those things which unbelieving men live for, and begin seeking those things which are above: life and immortality and glory. By the grace of God, we're given faith in Jesus Christ. And by His grace, we assemble here together as His people. He has made us this His church. And He said, where two or three are gathered in My name, there am I in the midst of them. What a blessed privilege we enjoy as children of God. Live for Him, not for the things of this world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I pray God the Holy Spirit would drive that message clearly home to us today. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So in these verses, the apostle warns us that it is impossible for a person to love the world and to love God. You can't serve two masters. He warns us against fixing our hearts upon this decaying, this corrupting, this perishing world around us. In every age, the people of God have had to struggle with what we call worldliness. Now, worldliness was one of the greatest problems in the days of the apostles, and it continues to be one of the greatest difficulties facing us today as children of God. So John, he gave this tender word of warning and this exhortation to those who were under his pastoral care. He said to them, love not the world, This has always been the standard of true believers. The child of God endeavors to keep his affections for Christ and his eyes upon heaven. Whereas the mere religious professor is attached to this world, living for the comforts and the pleasures of this world, and saying we're doing all this in the name of our Savior, many of them. So this admonition was never needed so much as it is needed today. Listen to me. As you care for your souls and for the honor of Christ, love not the world. There is a widespread desire today to make Christianity, to make obedience to the Word of God and the commandments of God, to make it palatable with the things of this world. To shave off the rough edges of the gospel, not to convict people of their sinfulness, not to speak of those things, do away with the offense of the cross, do away with the blood that's all through the Bible, and to avoid as far as possible anything like self-denial. This is why the Joel Osteens of this age have millions and millions of followers. In a day like this, I feel compelled to raise that clear warning, love not the world. I want you to be aware of the danger and the folly of being so much in affection, having so much affection to the things of this world. And I hope I'm able to be clear about this, because I realize that the subject of worldliness means many things to different people. What you may call worldly, I may not. What I may consider something that's worldly, you may not. It's different to different people. But what does the Bible call worldliness? What did Christ point out as things that were worldly? Religionists say that it is worldly to dress according to the fashion of the times. It's worldly to wear your hair in a given way, or for a man to wear a beard. It's worldly to look like the world, where the very rule of the Pharisee is touch not, taste not, handle not. And these commandments and these doctrines of men, listen, they're satisfying to the flesh and they make a show of humility. But the Apostle Paul calls it a show of humility in real worship in Colossians 2:23. He calls it the doctrine of devils. And he warns us to shun these things. The Lord Jesus Christ, he dressed like other men in the world. His standard was modesty. We're told by Timothy, in like manner also the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Listen, Jesus Christ taught modesty. And he wore a seamless robe and he walked around in sandals. He had a beard. Was the Son of God worldly? God forbid. Men look upon the outward appearance and they place great stock in a man's outward dress and his conduct. And I think as we come to the house of God, we should respect that and we should wear what is respectful. I believe that. Sometimes we perhaps need to have a dress code. If you dress in a way that's immodest, you should consider that wrong. But that's not what worldliness is all about, actually. taking great stock and judging people by the way they dress or the things they eat. God actually has no regard for such things. He, of course, we don't want to dishonor Him and cast a stumbling block in someone's path. We don't go out of our way to do that. We try to consider the weaker brethren. But the Bible says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Our Lord made it plain that it is not what a man wears, not what a man eats or drinks that reflects his relationship with Him, but rather his heart attitude. He said it wasn't what you put in the body, but what comes out of the heart that judges a man. So what is worldliness? It is the love of the world. Be sure that you do not love the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You do not allow your heart to become attached to this world, neither its people nor its pleasures. Do not accept the corrupt moral systems of this world that dishonor God. And just because the world says that homosexuality is an acceptable lifestyle, we don't need to accept it. Just because the world says that abortion is okay, that's just a fetus, we don't accept it. So we look at these things and we do not accept the corrupt moral standards of this world. Don't allow your heart to become attached to this world, its people, or its pleasures. The proverb said that there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. I believe we're living in that generation today. In Isaiah chapter 5, he says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness." That's worldliness. They put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. So you do not seek the morality of this world to be your standard, but God's morality, God's word is your standard. Don't seek the fame or the fortunes of this world, neither its success or its security. Do not seek the approval of this world. Do not seek to be part of this world. I can't leave this alone, Brother John. In the book of Jeremiah, in chapter 10, I know some might think I'm meddling, but I don't mean to be. But just read this with an open mind. Jeremiah chapter 10. Thus saith the Lord, verse 2. Learn not the way of the heathen. Be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them, for the custom of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen, with the axe. Well, they do. So they deck it with silver and with gold, and fasten it with nails and hammers, that it move not. They are upright as a palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil. Neither also is it in them to do good. This is just one example. The Bible, very clear that we're to follow God, and to follow the traditions that are set forth by the apostles, not the Druids, or the celebrators of Christ's Mass, or Easter, or Halloween or any so-called holy day. It's just an example of these things. You don't follow after a multitude to commit evil. You don't do it. That's worldliness. That's what God considers worldliness. Love not the world. It's perishing in everything. Everything in it is marked for destruction. He says, set your affection on things above and even on Jesus Christ and the riches of His grace and the glory that we have in and with Him. Worldliness is an undue attachment to the world's systems and its customs and its practices. If you're doing something that's very popular and the whole world's doing it, you're probably committing evil. It's living by the principles of this world that are deceitful, covetous, and greedy. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our hope without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We're in a day that people, and I'm as guilty, I'm pointing my fingers back at myself, we become so involved in the things of this world that we can't even attend the assemblies. We can't even come together and meet one another when the doors are open to this body, this church. Worldliness is living by the principles of this world. It's greed, it's covetousness, it's deceit. It is being so involved in the things of this world that we can't even assemble with God's people. Now I realize, I'm not saying people don't have, you have to have jobs, you have to work. I realize that. People get sick. Brother Hobbs used to say, you get sick on a Sunday morning, Stop by the church first and have people pray for you as you're on your way to the hospital. You know in your own heart whether you have a real reason to absent yourself from this assembly or not. I'm not your judge. I don't send out church police. I'm not going to slash your tires if you don't come to church. But be sure in your heart that you're not putting something of this world above your assembly here. And I understand, I know things happen, and we make promises and we make commitments. And I'll be the first to admit that I'm as guilty as anyone here to plan. Now, I didn't plan the family activities that are coming up. There'll be two Sundays this month that I won't be able to be here. I was asked to officiate in a wedding in Asheville, North Carolina on the 24th. I won't be able to make it back in time for church. I said I would preach in a conference in Winston-Salem, North Carolina the following weekend. But what I will be doing, I'll guarantee you those folks at that wedding are going to hear about Jesus Christ. And I'm going to preach in a conference on personal godliness. That was the subject I was given. Hallelujah, I love preaching on that. It is living for the things of this world that is worldliness. Godliness is living for God. It's not that hard to understand. It's living as godly people. We live as unto the Lord and for His honor and for His glory. It's living by the love and the faith that we have toward God for what He has done for us and sending His Son to die for us. As He revealed Himself to us, godliness is living in submission to the Lord our God, bowing to His will and His word and seeking His glory and serving His people in the interest of His church and His kingdom. Are you a worldly person who lives for the world? The Bible promises us something. If so, you will surely perish with this world. Are you a godly person who lives by the grace of God and for the glory of God? If so, you will live for all eternity in the bliss of our Savior and His heavenly kingdom. This is the message of our text. It's very easy to read it. John doesn't mince any words. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. How hard is that to understand? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it's not of the Father, it's of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Love not the world. That's the message of our text. It's an important matter. You think, well, this is the first time I've heard that. No, it isn't. It's in every book of the Bible. It's in every, especially in every book of the New Testament. It's a prominent theme. Throughout the New Testament, you hear the words of Paul when he says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." He says, "Yeah, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God." Paul said, "Christ gave himself for us that he might deliver us from this present evil world." He said to the Galatians, "In times past, you walked according to the course of this world." Paul said, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Paul, it was one of his main things. James says, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, to keep oneself unspotted from the world." James' message was, "Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God?" And he said, "Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God." The Apostle John speaks plainly about this subject of worldliness. He said, "The world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." He said, "They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." And he says, "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." 1 John 3, 4, and 5. And if that were not enough, during his ministry, the Lord Jesus Christ plainly warned us against the love of the world and the cares of this world as they choke the word and becomes unfruitful. The world, he said, will hate you. You know that it hated me before it hated you, if the world hate you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. In the world, you have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He prayed in the Lord's Prayer, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. These verses of inspiration speak for themselves, and they need no comment from me. Because if anyone can read or hear such words as these and fail to see that the world is a great enemy of our souls, and that the friendship of the world is the exact opposite of the friendship of Christ, they're being willfully ignorant and beyond the reach of simple reason. In them all we hear the voice of God. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you. So throughout the pages of inspiration, throughout your Bible that you hold there on your lap, the word of warning is sounded time and time again. Love not the world. Love not the world. And I repeat myself deliberately because I believe it's one of the greatest dangers, if not the greatest dangers that we'll face. More people are taken in by this snare than any other. It's not open sin or open unbelief or open immorality that causes men and women to forsake their profession. It is the love of the world. In verse 19, John speaks of those apostates who had forsaken Christ. He said, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Love not the world. The greatest cause of apostasy is the love of the world, the fear of the world, or the cares of this world, or the pleasures of this world, or to be accepted by the people of this world. Be accepted in there as part of their ranks. How many are there who have made shipwreck of their souls upon this rock? They began well, and for a season they ran well, and they made good in the beginning. They made a fair start toward heaven. But at last, in the last day, they will prove how many souls the world has slain. There are many who began with Abraham and Moses and end up with Demas and Lot's wife. Love not the world. This is in every one of us an evil tendency to become too fond of this world. Therefore, John sets up the warning sign, love not the world. Old men are apt to become covetous and love the world and worldly things just when they're going out of it. Young men are apt to be carried away with lust and vanity and pride. So John says, love not the world. And when he says, love not the world, he's not telling us that the creation of God is evil. He's talking about world systems. He's not talking about the earth and the stars and the moon and the sun and the world as we live upon, this globe that we live upon. It's beautiful. He's not saying that. He's not talking about creation. There are many who foolishly contend that the physical world is evil and is harmful to a man's soul, and they begin different cults and they go live in caves or whatever they think they need to do. The idea is that material things that's evil is foolish. It's contrary to Scripture. Listen, all of God's creation is good and it's useful. Everything ought to be received with thanksgiving and used with moderation. It's not the use of the world, but the abuse of it that is evil. John says, when he says, love not the world, he's not telling us that Christians should have nothing to do with the world. The Catholics teach that it's the most ideal for believers to become totally separate from the world, to live in convents and not even be in part of the world. Many different groups have taught this throughout the centuries, but it's contrary to divine revelation. A believer is not called upon to give up his worldly employment. He said if a man didn't work, he shouldn't eat. You're not called upon to quit your job or to forsake your family or to take no interest in the affairs of this world. Worldliness or godliness are not things defined or identified by what we wear or what we eat or what we drink. It's not the length of your hair or the color of your suit. It's worldliness is an attitude of your heart. It's a principle of your life. Some people who are the most worldly people you may ever meet are very strict in their outward conduct. Our Savior, and by religious modern standards, our Lord and His disciples would be considered worldly. They would. Our Savior and His disciples, they ate with publicans and sinners. They drank with tax collectors and with sinners. John's admonition has to do with the heart attitude of a believer. And without question, when the heart is right, listen, it will affect the outward man, the conduct. But when John says, love not the world, he's telling us to guard against an undue attachment to the things of this world. So the meaning of our text is simply this. We're not to fix our affections on those things which the world supplies. We're not to make this world the object of our love. We're not to live by the principles of this world. Our Lord plainly states that we who are His elect, His redeemed, blood-bought, regenerate people, we who are considered the people of God, who have been justified and sanctified by His grace, that we're not of this world, even as He is not of this world. He said, I have given them thy word, John 17:14. And the world hath hated them, because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So John, as we read in John 17, as our Lord prayed for us, and here in 1 John, God's saints are not of the world. The Savior says they're not of this world. Why try to make yourself part of it? You're not of this world. Those who are one with Christ are not of the world, even as Christ was not of this world. Do you know Him as your Savior? Are you indeed a child of God, trusting Him with all your heart? I pray today you do know Him and you're striving to follow Him and to serve Him with what life He's given you. May God enable you. Brother Tim, would you come and lead us in a hymn?